So we are in a series right now called Holy Spirit. And so far we're two sermons into this series. And of course I'm going to be pulling a classic James and pausing on us on, you know, our series to talk about something different. And I was joking with Tracy this week. And David was here too. We had our first official staff meeting. Isn't that so cool? And I was like, you know, I just have this feeling that I'm going to preach on something different this week. And Tracy started laughing because I'm like, well, you do that every series. Every series. It's like, okay, 6-week series, but then it ends up taking like 10 weeks because I sense the Lord saying you're preaching on this. And so that's where we're at this morning. We're going to pause on the Holy Spirit series for one Sunday. We'll get back to it next Sunday, okay? But I just had this sense that, you know, in light of all that's happening in this world right now, in light of all the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the natural phenomena, you know, people are looking for answers. They really are. It's crazy. There was Hurricane Harvey, Irma, Katia, Jose, and now there's another two or three brewing out there. And, you know, people are looking for answers. And I wrote a blog post about this recently. And I just thought, you know what, I think I'm going to preach this message this Sunday because I believe we have an answer. I believe the church has an answer. There are many answers that come from the church world. And I don't believe they're all from the Lord. And so that's also what I want to talk about this morning. Because people are looking for answers. Now, I complain a lot about weather, okay? I really do. It's one of the things I really complain about. Because here's the thing, right? We're in Canada where, like, sometimes 6 months of the year there's snow. Sometimes, November to April. Like, really. And I know there's some of you here who like snow, and God bless you, John and Steve Fell. I mean, I don't know. You guys are funny. But, I was born here, and I still am not used to snow, like the cold, frigid temperature. Although this past winter, actually, it wasn't that bad, right? I don't even think we had much minus 30s this past winter. But summer's supposed to make up for our winters, okay? It's supposed to be sunny. It's supposed to be nice and warm for outdoor activities, camping, hiking, whatever, right? But this summer, it was brutal. Like it's like it stayed spring the whole time. It was rainy, gloomy, and in fact, if I could sum up our summer this year, it'd be wet and gloomy. That's what it was. And now we have summer now. This is just, wow. Now, I understand, of course, we need rain. The farmers need rain, of course, and especially ever since, I mean, the last few summers have been very dry. And so, in some ways, this summer has been making up for all those other dry summers because it rained a lot this year. I mean, a lot, unseasonably. Like it was actually quite a lot to the point where the Great Lakes are very high. There was a lot of flooding. Even in our region, there was a lot of flooding that took place. But maybe you heard about the Toronto Islands. There was flooding on the Toronto Islands. Now, Toronto Island is close to my heart. You know, I grew up in Toronto and Mississauga. My parents used to take me here all the time. We take our kids there. We were planning on going there this year to take the kids to the Toronto Island, go to the amusement park there. And we couldn't go because it was closed, because it was flooded. And when I saw that, I was like, man, I've never seen this happen in my life. I've never heard of this happening. I did some research into the history of flooding or anything happening on Toronto Island, and yeah, once in a while they have some storm rip through and things like this happen, but not for a very long time. And so when things like this happen, it's like, we need some answers. What's going on? This is not normal. It's unexplainable. What's going on? Right? And right now, I mean, more recently, we've been hearing about even more severe weather phenomenon. I mean, it is odd. It is. Sure, we do get hurricanes and things like this. Well, not us necessarily, but like in the South, people experience hurricanes and natural phenomenon. But the intensity and the number of things that are happening right now is odd. Hurricane Harvey devastated Texas and Louisiana over a 6-day period not long ago. It wasn't that long ago, where 51 inches of rain fell. I mean, that's a record. 51 inches of rain, that's a record. Hurricane Irma came shortly after that, wreaked havoc in the Caribbean. I mean, almost 40 lives were lost. The Caribbean islands are just devastated right now. If you saw pictures of Antigua, Barbuda, I mean, they're saying that it's uninhabitable. It's just horrible what's happening. There's another one coming right now. It's possible that it's going to hit that same area again. And those are the things that we see on the news. There's even more that the news isn't covering. I mean, there was more tropical storms. There's flooding in other parts of the world, earthquakes and so on, forest fires, parts of the world that are experiencing just very high temperatures, very hot. And I mean, people are looking at all that is happening and wanting answers. They're wondering, what is going on? Right? When we see such an overwhelming number of things happening like that, it stirs up in us this desire to discover what's going on. You know, why is this happening? And there are scientists and there are meteorologists who will give answers. They do. That's their job. They search for the answers. And if you Google it, you'll find some of those answers. You'll find it. And you might be surprised to find out that scientists and meteorologists aren't the only ones to give answers. There are answers provided from the religious world as well, and most notably from the Christian world. You may find articles and blog posts and so on about, you know, why is this is happening from a Christian perspective. And some of them you will find that they're talking about, you know, all the natural disasters that are happening are signs of the end times. That's a very popular thing right now. You'll find a lot of blog posts about that. And you know, I get it, because in the Bible, in Luke chapter 21, in Matthew 24, in the book of Revelation, it talks about these sorts of things happening, but they've been happening for a long time. Historically, if you look back, I think every decade there's a new theory of when the world's going to end. There's always, in the 70s, if you were a follower of Hal Lindsey, or you knew about Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth, and he had a number of books, 80 Reasons Why the World's Going to End in 1980, 88 Reasons Why It's Going to End in 88, and so on. And so there's been these theories. I don't doubt that the coming of our Lord and Savior is near. I believe that is true. We're not going to know when that is. The Bible also says that. And so that's not actually what I want to talk about today. It's not about the signs. I want to point out another answer that some Christians, some of our brethren are saying about all these natural disasters. Some are saying that these are happening because God is judging the people for their sin, that it's a form of punishment from God. And I have a problem with that because of the implications it brings about the character and nature of God. I really do. I believe it gives an unbalanced understanding of who God is. And that's dangerous because as Christians, you and I, we have a very high calling. We are called to represent God. That's our calling, to represent Jesus, to represent Jesus. That's our calling in this life. We need to do that well. We need to be very careful in what we say. And in order for us to do that well, we need to get to know God better before we make statements like this. It's very dangerous because the world is listening. They're looking for answers. So we need to be careful. And so that's why my message today is going to be called this, The Judge and the Refuge, Understanding the Justice and Mercy of God. Will you pray with me for 1 minute? Father, thank you so much. Once again, we thank you for your presence. God, we just come before you now. There are songs that we sing, Lord, I want to know you more. And we want to know you more because we want to represent you well. And I thank you that at Trinity, it is our desire to represent you well in our city, in this region, in our city, in this nation and beyond. And so, Lord, equip us to do that. I pray that you would equip me to do that. Father, these words, I pray for your anointing to be upon them. and speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Tuesday, January 12, 2010, if I could borrow the words of Franklin Roosevelt, was a date which will live in infamy, especially for some here at Trinity. January 12, 2010. That was the day a massive 7.0 earthquake hit Haiti, in just outside of Port-au-Prince. And it was devastating what happened. And our very own Marilyn McElroy was there at the time. She was there along with others to provide medical assistance via mobile clinics to visit the rural areas, the poor in the rural areas, because they don't have access to medical needs. And so a team was sent to provide that for that need. And one of the nurses, a retired nurse, her name was Yvonne Martin, who was on that team. She went to Haiti, from what I understand, a number of times before. She had a heart for the Haitians. I believe that was the heartbeat of God that was placed in her. I believe that's the heartbeat of God that's placed in Marilyn as well. And many of us here who have been to Haiti, who've supported the Haiti missions, who've been there and who are going to be going there again, God's placed that heart inside of us. And Yvonne Martin had that heart, and it was shortly after they arrived that actually when the earthquake hit, Yvonne passed away in the earthquake. Now, I wasn't here at Trinity at the time. But I remember watching this televangelist when this happened, because it was all over the news. In particular, it was on our news, CTV Kitchener, because a woman from Elmira was there and lost her life. And so I remember seeing this. And then I remember watching a televangelist, just come out. And he took the opportunity to say that the earthquake was a judgment from God upon the nation of Haiti because of their demonic spiritual practices. And when I heard that, that caused such a stir inside me. I was upset. And at first, I didn't quite understand why. But I was really upset because I was like, really? Well, why Haiti and why not these people then? Why not us? Why not that? It just didn't make sense. And I was like, that's the first response? I mean, we were hearing on the news, thousands upon thousands of people died in that quake. The buildings were reduced to rubble. It was horrible what was happening. And I couldn't believe that it was from the Christian perspective to a world that is watching, that was the first message. And I was just shocked. And again, I wasn't here at Trinity at the time. I was at another church. And it stirred so much inside me that I did what I'm doing today. I was on a series then. I think it was on a series on the Holy Spirit, I think. I'm not sure, maybe. And I said, guys, I just want to take a moment to break from our series. I got to tell you about something. And I preached on the nature of God, the character of God. And, I couldn't believe that. And you know what? I don't think I ever really got over that. Because again, he's making a statement about the character and nature of God, and I really believe that that was an unbalanced statement. And so I started digging, and I started on a journey to discover, who is God? Is that really God? Let's look at the scriptures. Let's look at that. What does it say about the nature and character of God? And I'm still on that journey, but I just want you to know that, you know, I've come to realize a few things about the character and nature of God, and that's what I want to share this morning. But I also came to realize something. You know, I got it. This was a few years after that televangelist made this statement. Although I was really upset at first, after a few years, I was like, okay, I get it. I get it. I get why he did that. Again, I didn't agree with why he did that, but I get it. Right? This world can be a dark place. It really can. Although a lot of good happens, I wish they would put some of that on the news. A lot of good happens in this world. There are a lot of miracles that take place. Compassion that is shown to those who, it happens. I don't know why they don't put that on the news as much. But we also know that there's a lot of evil, a lot of injustice. If you turn on your television, if you go on the internet, you search the you browse the internet, you read the news, you will quickly find that there's something wrong with this world. It's true. There's something wrong. We hear about terrorism, genocide, murder. Human trafficking is a thing that's inconceivable. Human trafficking is a thing, folks. Unbelievable. It's horrible, the evil that exists in this world. Threats of war, extreme poverty, hunger, exploitation. We live in a terribly broken world. There is injustice everywhere. There is. And when people witness injustice taking place, you know, there's some that just turn a blind eye and they're like, yeah, whatever. They just ignore it. They go on with their lives. But then there are others who call for justice. They see the injustice. They call for justice. Not only that, they actually stand up for justice. They see the wrong that's being done and they call for what is wrong to be made right. There are those people. I believe Christians are among the frontline people that are like that. You know, really, I believe that Christians are the ones that stand up for justice the most in this world. I believe that. I don't think it's just because of a bias. I think it's true that we are. They see the wrong. They call for that wrong to be made right. And I believe that inner call for justice is God speaking to us and speaking through us. That inner cry for justice that we have when we see something wrong happening, where we see an abuse take place, where we see some form of trauma taking place, an inner cry bubbles up. That's the cry of God in our hearts and expressing through our lives. I believe that that's what's happening. That inner call for justice is what launches people into ministry. It's that inner call for justice that propels people onto the mission field. It's that inner cry for justice that causes people to stand up for the broken, the helpless, the destitute. I believe that inner call for justice comes from God because that is who God is. That is what God is like. He is a God of justice. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says this, "The rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he." This passage says that God's work is perfect. His ways are perfect. They're far greater than our ways. We may not totally understand them, but his ways are perfect. Our ways may not be perfect, but his ways are perfect. And it says that God is just and upright. God's justice is directly tied to his righteousness. When he brings about justice, it's because he is righteous. The Bible talks about that. In fact, in the Bible, throughout the Bible, justice and righteousness is very much intertwined. Isaiah 45:19 says this, "The Lord, I the Lord, speak the truth, I declare what is right." God is the judge who declares what is right. So the cry for things to be made right within the human heart is a reflection of the character of God inside us. It is. So I get why the televangelist brother was so quick to pronounce judgment. I think I get it. He was perhaps calling for justice. He saw some form of injustice, which we all can. I mean, this world is a broken place. He was calling for justice, and in some way, he found that the earthquake was an answer to that call for justice. But I believe that he had an unbalanced understanding of the nature of God. At least in that moment, I believe he did. Because, yes, God is just. Yes, he is a God that displays justice. He is also merciful. God is a God of mercy also. In fact, the scriptures repeatedly talk about the mercy of God. 360 times, actually, to be exact. Over 360 times. 290 times in the Old Testament, 70 times in the New Testament. Talks about the mercy of God. Very big emphasis. God is a God of mercy. Exodus 34:7 says this, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." This passage, which is in the Old Testament, is talking about the incredible mercy of God. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in steadfast love. You know what that means? That means that God pours out his love. And we might, it's like if you picture us holding a bowl and it's like water being poured out, it's full. In fact, it's flowing out. And he's pouring it even more and more and more. He is abounding in his love for us, in his mercy, in his graciousness. That's who God is. He is a God of mercy. Luke 6 in the New Testament says, "Be merciful, for your Father is merciful." God is a merciful God. He is a God of mercy. And so there's a tension here. There's this tension going on. God is a God of justice. He's a judge. But he's also a God of mercy. He's merciful, forgiving, loving, abounding in love. He's both. Seemingly contradictory things. He's both somehow. And the interesting thing about Exodus 34 is it actually communicates this tension. So the first part was talking about the mercy of God. Check this out. This is the next part. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Again, this passage starts with talking about the mercy of God, but it ends talking about the justice of God. He is both a judge and a refuge. That is who God is. God is a God, a judge for sinners. He's also a refuge for sinners. And so there's this tension here. Again, two seemingly opposing characteristics held in tension. Now get this. You got to get ready for this, okay? In fact, tap your neighbor and say, "Get ready for this." Okay? Listen. I got to get ready for this. This is the beauty of the Christian message. Are you ready for this? The beauty of the Christian message is this. There is a place where these characteristics of God collide, where the justice of God and the mercy of God meet. Do you know where that is? It's at the cross. It's at the cross. The cross is where the justice and the mercy of God collide and meet. At the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ represents both the justice and the mercy of God. Jesus Christ is God's answer to the sins of the world. Sin is contrary to the nature of God. It is. It's totally contrary to the way of God. There's no iniquity in God. It's contrary to God. And sin must be dealt with. It's God's nature. His just nature must deal with sin. And by his mercy, he sent Jesus to take upon himself that very sin. The just punishment for our sins, he paid it all. He paid it all. Jesus Christ represents the justice and mercy of God. So going back to the hurricanes and the earthquakes and the natural disasters, what kind of answer do we give to the world who is searching for them? We preach Jesus. That's our answer. That's God's answer. We preach Jesus. You see, preaching exclusively judgment is an unbalanced message. It takes away from the mercy of God. 360 times the Bible talks about the mercy of God. We take away from that if we preach just judgment. It's unbalanced. Brian Zand, in his book, Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God, says this: Jesus is what God has to say to this world. I love that. I love that. Jesus is what God has to say to this world. God's ready to receive the sinner and embrace them. That's our God. I love that. Jesus is what God has to say to this world. So you might be asking, what does that mean to preach Jesus? I mean, that's so abstract. What does that mean? How do we do that? We preach Jesus with our lives. with our lives. We preach Jesus with our lives. I have come to recognize that I was a sinner who deserved to die. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But my sin was forgiven because God is merciful. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin so that I can have the gift of God, which is eternal life. That's the second half of Romans 6:23. And I've experienced this mercy of God. I will now extend the mercy of God. That's preaching Jesus. That's preaching Jesus. In essence, you become the message. We become the message. After Hurricane Harvey hit Texas, sure, there were some from our... You know, every family has a... that person. Uncle someone, so-and-so, cousin so-and-so. They're wacky, but they're our family, okay? It's the same in the body of Christ. We've got wacky uncles and crazy cousins, but we love them. I mean, they do things to embarrass us from time to time, but we need to continue to pray for them because they are our family, okay? Apart from the judgment speakers, there were a lot of Jesus speakers, Jesus preachers. When Hurricane Harvey hit Texas, I mean, there were Christian charities that were first on the scene. Organizations like Convoy of Hope, Samaritan's Purse, Medical Teams International, Matthew 25 Ministries, they were on the scene right away. They took out their boats and they would go and they would find those who were stranded in their homes and rescue them day after day after day. You know, at some times the government weren't even there yet, but these ministries were there. They were first on the scene. It's amazing, right? I mean, that is what preaching Jesus is all about. That is what it's all about. Matthew 25 Ministries. When I saw that, I was like, that's an interesting name for a ministry. You know, well, Matthew 25 is where you find this verse. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. What a powerful passage. The disciples were saying, you know, Jesus, when did we do these things? And Jesus says, when you do this to the least of these, you do it for me. That's preaching Jesus with your life. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. And so these ministries that are even to this day reaching out to those who are facing devastation. And not just in the hurricane-affected areas, but here at home when we see those who are in need, who are destitute, there are those who run to serve and to speak life and to encourage and to build up the broken. We see that in our neighborhood. There are Christians in our neighborhood who do this. It's beautiful, you know. And that is preaching Jesus with your life. Nurses like Yvonne Martin, who died while serving the people in Haiti, like our Marilyn McElroy, who continues to serve the people in Haiti and other nations to heal the broken. For Karen, who faithfully serves in Spain, who loves the people into the kingdom like many of us here in the church. For those of you who care for those in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your family, you heal the broken through words, through deeds, through actions, through prayers. You are preaching Jesus when you do that. That's the answer we're called to give. That's the answer. Act first, speak later. That's the call. We're called to preach Jesus. That is what it means to be the light in this dark world. Matthew 5:14, love this verse. I saw this verse on David's rearview mirror on a CD. I was like, that's the confirmation I'm supposed to preach on this today. Matthew 5:14 says this, you are the light of the world. That's a big deal. That really is. Let's not let this passage fly by. That's a high calling. We're called to represent Jesus. We're the light of the world. That's a high calling. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. That doesn't make any sense. But on a stand so that it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. I love this. If you're going to highlight something in your Bible, if you like to do that, this is a good one, okay? In fact, I'm going to do that. I don't think mine is highlighted yet. Okay? This is what it says. Let your light shine, why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are called to represent God. When the world sees that, they give glory to our Father who is in heaven. That's the answer. That's the answer we give. So church, let us shine the light of Jesus in this world. He is God's answer to this world. Let's get to know him better through the scriptures, through just through prayer, through connect, just meditating upon who he is. Get to know who he is, his nature, his character, his message. And then show the world who he is, especially through the storms, because people are looking for answers. And Jesus is what God has to say to this world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. He is the answer. He is the answer for all those in this world who are looking for answers. God, use us to effectively give those answers, to preach Jesus with our lives, to represent you well, to be a light in this world. We are called to be a city on a hill. And Lord, right now, I just declare that your church in Waterloo region, Trinity being one of them, will become a city on a hill. That we will shine the light of your glory, the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, so brightly that people will give glory to you in heaven. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Love you guys. Have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful summer weather.